Hi, and welcome back to Ordinarily Extraordinary Conversations with Women in STEM. You are not going to want to miss today's episode. I got the privilege of sitting down with Chanfeng Zhao, a chemist, a chemical engineer, an entrepreneur, a CEO, and more. Chanfeng successfully founded a company that specializes in making synthetic nucleotides, which we talk about what those are because I had no idea what they were before this conversation, that are used in diagnostics, pharmaceutics, genomics, and research markets. She brings over 25 years of experience of nucleotide and modified nucleotides used in sequencing and synthetic genomic fields. Chanfeng received her PhD in chemistry from SUNY at Buffalo and a Bachelor's of Science with honors in petroleum chemical engineering from East China University of Science and Technology. She's an inventor and has over 20 issued patents. I hope you enjoy Chanfeng's story. How are you?
I'm doing good today.
Good. Anyway, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm just going to jump in if you're ready to get started.
Yeah, I can try. Yeah.
Okay. I want to start with what do you currently do for a job?
I am now head of R&D in chemistry at TriLink. So most research. So the most is research. So my job is really, you know, our team is really developing new technology, in mRNA field. So, I mean, as you know, it's fast moving field. So, you know, inspire team, come up, think out of box to develop product or process. Yeah. So it's fun job. It's fun job.
So, and I know I'm going to ask you a really hard question because I know every day is different, but what is a day in your life like? Like, what do you typically do in a day in your current role?
Yeah. So maybe I can start my ideal day.
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. My ideal day would be, you know, I can spend first 30 minutes minimum, you know, before I respond to email and read a scientific paper, read in the news about in the field, and then, you know, go to business, like read email, you know, go to meetings.
What's your favorite part of your job right now?
It's innovation, really. You know, as I mentioned, the field, mRNA field, right? It's really going fast. You know, how can we TriLink, you know, stay ahead of the, you know, technology, stay ahead of the field, right? So it's like, in a way, it's like new field, right? It's like, I cannot say it's a white paper. You could draw anything, right? But still kind of new. Therefore, you know, a lot of new discovery, right? A new idea, you know, you can really, reduced practice, new ideas, new products, you know, just new technology in general. So it's exciting. Yeah.
So I know you said in your ideal day that you start out by reading a scientific paper or something like at the beginning of your day. Do you schedule in time to think or to just like think creatively or to process or whatever it is? Do you schedule any of that into your day? I'm just curious.
No, I do. I do. I actually often, you know, at least twice, you know, in a week, I will schedule block like hour or two because, you know, I need to go through, you know, for example, projects our team are working on, right? And because part of my job is give the guidance to the team, you know, what we should work on, you know, what's the priority. So I need to really going through that and list to really think over exactly like you said, you know, think. And yeah, I do block that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to do. And I think it's really, really hard to do because I think it's so easy for us to fill up that space ourselves. And then also, if you don't block it off in a way that other people can't take that time from you, someone will take that time from you and schedule over your time that you need to actually like think and be able to process and to be good in what your role is.
Right. You know, Exactly right. You know, sometimes I see double block or triple block my time. I was like, you know, it's just, yeah, but yeah, it's, I guess it's part of my job, you know, just.
You're making me think like there should be a way in Outlook that people can't, like you can, they should be an option for people to not actually schedule time over something, that you could actually like make it in a way that nobody can take that time from you. Cause right now that's not a thing.
No, great idea. Actually, great idea, right? If we can have that, you know, set up.
Yes. Okay, so we just need to send this off to Microsoft and have them like...
Yeah, have that option. So you click here, my con, don't touch it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It needs to, there needs to be an option for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the company that you work at now is a company that you founded and then... your company was purchased, right? Can you just, I am so curious about, can you just share your career journey? And like, we'll go back to college, but maybe from like mm-hmm. the time that you like left college, like
mm-hmm.
what has your career journey been? Because it's been very mm-hmm. interesting. And I just want to hear like how things kind of progressed for you from the time that you left university to where you are now, which has been, I think, just an incredible story.
Yeah, sure. So I started my career as a chemical engineer. And I actually worked as a chemical engineer in China, you know, for about 6 years. But I realized that wasn't enough for me. Sorry, my mess.
Yep.
And so I, you know, come to US to go to my graduate school. Although it's difficult at that time, you know, in early 90s, because, you know, first of all, I have to pass this English barrier just because back then we didn't really learn much English.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a challenge for me, but I'm very glad that, you know, I actually, you know, put effort, you know, I was able to do that. So I got my PhD in chemistry. And then I got at Buffalo, New York, very cold place. But you know, if you are in China at that time, you want to go to graduate school, you just go any place, any university, they're willing to accept you and give you a tuition waiver because otherwise it's not even possible to afford the tuition.
So, it's really expensive.
Very
I've got
expensive.
Kids in college.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Because back then my salary probably it's like equivalent about $30, won't even afford to for the application for graduate school. So I moved to San Diego. I actually didn't know there is San Diego. Just how, you know.
About it, probably as opposite of Buffalo, New York as you can get in the United States.
Yes. My first job in San Diego was a startup. And I was a number one employee in that company.
Hey.
So I actually, you know, because my first job is startups, I find out I like that setup better, you know, compared to large company because company survive or die, right? So everyone's contribution matters. So mm-hmm. I got to work with, you know, people with different disciplines, science, biology, chemistry, biology, you know, engineer, right? Even business, you know. I think that kind of learning environment and helped me kind of set, you know, where I want to go. I was always interested in the field, science field. So when genomics start, you know, in I say, you know, late 1990, and because the human genome was just, you know, sequenced at that time. So Illumina was just started. So as you know, Illumina is the market leader in genomic field. You know, it's a very big company. But I joined the Illumina when there was about 10 of us. And, you know, it's a very small company. You know, I had opportunity to learn really, again, different things. you know, I also get a chance to learn about more about the business and, you know, more about IP. Because as a startup, as a technology company, you need to survive with strong IP. Otherwise, you can't compete in the market. So because I am always like to learn, so, you know, I would, you know, spend my own time reading, you know, patent in general, you know, do the technology or evaluation on myself, on my own. So I think that kind of helped me truly understand, you know, not only the science, you know, the business, you know, the field, just IP in general. So I worked at Illumina for about 8 years. And then I started my own company, MyCam. Actually, the name of MyCam was suggested by my son. He was about to graduate from high school. And he actually also designed the logo with MyCam. And my husband, fortunately, my husband is also a chemist. So he is my, you know, supporter and partner. So it's really a family, you know, business to start with. MyCam was focused on making pure nucleotides for the customers in the genomic field, because, you know, next generation sequencing, the whole field, the whole technology just started. So I thought, you know, not many people truly understand the need for their technology in terms of what kind of purity of the nucleotides they need to use to enhance their, you know, technology to speed up their development. Actually, there's one interesting story I actually learned last week. One of MyCam's former customer, the person worked in, you know, in that company. And so I know about him now about 20 years because they were one of MyCam's first customer. And MyCam supplied material for them, you know, to do evaluation. And they, you know, within a week, they switched from their vendors to use MyCam's material. So, you know, I didn't know the detail, right? So I just know, okay, the material must work. Mm-hmm. Last week, you know, he was, you know, he joined the training of, I mean, Maravai company, Alphazyme. He is the VP of R&D there, you know, so he came to visit San Diego. So we went out for dinner. And so he said, you know, when we get MyCam's material, because he distinctly remembered that, and they used to be the sequence length, like short, maybe, you know, 10 or 20. And when they just one day they used our material, all jumped, went to different lengths, much longer read lengths. So that's why they switched our, you know, to use our product, you know, immediately. And he also said that because they had East Coast side and West Coast side, and the West Coast side scientists would call them, what you guys do? How come you make huge improvement suddenly? Yeah. So, you know, that made my day, you know, right? So, you know, when I work as MyCam, I always thought, you know, if I can help customer, right? Help people and the business will come. That's kind of my, you know, philosophy in a way, you know, so. All my customers, all my MyCam's customers came to us from word of mouth. I never done like advertisement, any sort of that. But the customer, you know, they join one company, they leave the company, you come to new company, they come back to us. Yeah, that was very rewarding. Yeah.
Well, okay, so you bring up something that I think is like really interesting. I'm not going to say that this is 100%, and I'm going to generalize here, and I know it's not 100%, but I think that women tend to operate more that way of like, I want to help somebody and the business will come versus like, I'm going to create some product because I want to make money. And that's not to generalize that men are only out to make money or that women are only from this altruistic perspective. Right. But I have found and this is very anecdotal evidence, is that there, I don't have any data to back this up, that seems to be more true, I think, for women than for men.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are.
I tend to agree, because I guess we are more natural, maybe, right? I don't know, but we, you know, our tendency trying to help, perhaps, you know, I think,
Well, and I had it, there was another woman on my podcast, who was also a chemical engineer, at 3M. And one of the things that she said, the term that she likes to use is STEM. So she likes science, humanities, engineering, technology, and math, because she thinks that, especially from a standpoint of like trying to recruit like more girls and women into STEM, that really focusing on the humanity part is where we're going to be able to draw like more interest from girls, because there is more of a human side and a human connection. Which I thought was interesting. I hadn't really thought about it much before I talked to her, and now I think about it a lot. it's on my mind a lot, because I think that that's for many girls and women. I think that that's true. Is like you're trying to make a difference. You want to make the world better. Again, this is super generalizing, and I really hate to like generalize quite so much. But what you just said is something that it strikes a lot of resonance with me. And I started my own company about 7 months ago, completely different type of company. I'm a consultant. But I also believe, like, I just want to help people. And I do believe that the business will come when that's like where you're coming from, is like, I want to be helpful to somebody for in whatever capacity that is. I think that that's just a really, at least for me, that strikes a lot of resonance with me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, about STEM, right? So I, when I was younger in China, at that time, you know, usually boys go to, say, science, math. Girls go to, you know, more social science. So it's kind of, you know, I mean, probably this country is the same way back then.
Very much so,
you know,
yes.
Right? I'm sure it's improved now today.
Oh, still not great. We had a lot of ways to go.
Absolutely, we have a lot of ways to go. So I happen to like the science, you know, that's why I want to, you know, science and math, you know. I think, you know, we need more girls interested in the science and math. And more women, you know, in the technology, right? Science, technology, engineering, you know, the whole field, you know, mathematics field. I think, you know, if one person is curious, you know, and intelligent and willing to learn and work hard, you know, I think they can do it, right? So, you know, it's just be persistent, I think. I mean, in my case, you know, I find, you know, a lot of people telling me that actually, you know, it's not that I never gave up, but I always tried to find a way to solve the problem, to help, you know.
Well, and I think it's a combination of having that curiosity, encouraging girls to have that curiosity, and also just making it seem normal, right? Like just normalizing that these are careers for everybody. And I also think, you know, and I don't know if you, have you read the book Invisible Women?
No.
I'll put it into the episode notes, but it really talks about how we are, you know, if women aren't part of that design and are not part of designing the world and being a part of, women get left out in ways that are dangerous. Like you think of like crash test dummies. Like they were originally designed only as men. You think about like AI, like facial recognition. If you are like a white man and you're designing that's what your base point is. And it's not saying that it's necessarily like you're trying to exclude them. It's just that this is what you know. And so if you don't have that diverse perspective, we're not making the world, we're not creating a world where everybody is benefiting and where everybody can belong and where everybody are treated equal, because the designs are coming from one group of people.
Well, yeah, yeah, one gender, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah,
yeah. So we for sure we need our girls and we need our women. Okay, mm-hmm. I want to get back to so you started your company. How did you end up getting to the point of like selling your company? Because and what was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, new experience, right? So, you know, I honestly, when I was running my camp, I never thought about it. You know, I left this. I mean, in the beginning of year of my camp was tough, right? So now I kind of need to build the company. You know, I think also perhaps I'm lucky. Customer, needs our product. And we provide great service and we really help customer. You know, if you think about, you know, although company is small, but when customer or scientist, you know, come to us, they don't talk to a salesperson. They talk to me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, helped them, you know, really understand what they need, also help us understand their need better. So, you know, could really help them in sometimes even the molecule design, when they come to us sometimes, they didn't really know what molecule. They just, okay, we want this type of molecule. So, you know, we were able to, you know, kind of help them, you know, design that, you know, explain to them. I think, you know, that journey, you know, made them, you know, comfortable and they stick with us, you know. Because, we have customer, for example, Roche, large company, right? And Thermo Fisher, you know, huge company, you know, for them to use MyChem as the sole source, supply source, you know, that speaks, the confidence they have in us. So I think that's why, you know, our business was also growing. The revenue was growing, you know, and because over the year we built up more products, right? A cumulative, effect. And, in one investment banker approached us, a very boutique investment bank. I have no idea. Came out of nowhere, you know, they sent me an email, said, "Hey, can we chat?" I checked out, you know, okay. Investment bank, I wonder what they want, you know. But I said, yeah, sure, chat, you know. And it turns out they are thinking, you know, to help us, you know, to sell. And they think, you know, they think, you know, my chemistry is unique. You know, we're fitting to, you know, quite a few different company potentially. And the market was right, you know. Yeah, so we started there. So, the process take about a year, right? So, you know, but, I got a lot of help along the way. It's just interesting, I should say, you know, experience, interesting journey, the acquisition process for me.
I mean, I kind of two questions. One, I'm assuming it's probably like really exciting to have someone approach you to buy your company. And mm-hmm. also, is it kind of like you feel like you're selling like your baby? Like, is that a piece
of
it too?
I feel that today. Feel that today. Yes.
You know. Like your baby's now you're like babysitting your baby, right? Is that kind of like?
Yeah. Yeah. I am kind of in that way, right? That's why So true. But also, you know, because for my camp come to Maravai TriLink especially, it's a perfect fit. TriLink was our customer before. And so we understand each other business well. And the TriLink has, big platform sort, right? And also they have, you know, GMP, ISO, they have much better quality system. Uh-huh. I think that can kind of, you know, help upgrade our MyChem's product, you know, help our customers, you know, if they want to go GMP, go ISO, TriLink can help. So, you know, so it has a lot of benefits.
Okay. I have a couple questions. So mm-hmm. what is nucleotide?
nucleotide is type of molecule, you know, conforms oligonucleotides, you know, it also code our, you know, genetic information. Mm. So there are four type of nucleotides, A, G, T, C. And, you know, you and me, we probably have 99.5 above, you know, same sequence, but it's only the very small percentage, 0.1 or less, made you and I different, you know. So, for the genomic, you know, field, right? So if you have, you know, certain diseases, right, you just only have one base mutation. For example, if we're supposed to see, and it became you, or sudden, you know, the person can have disease, you know, special disease, you know, like sickle cell disease, right? And there's just one mutation, you know, people, you know, they have this, you know, deformed red blood cell, right? So, yeah, but it's all go back to the single nucleotide.
So when you talk about like the material that your company like creates, mm-hmm. okay, and you gotta, so I'm an electrical engineer. Uh-huh. What type of material, like I don't know enough about genetics to understand, like uh-huh. what kind of material are you creating?
Okay.
Like are these cells or what are they?
Yeah. So MyChem, we create this individual nucleotides. We make this AGTC, just in general nucleotides, sometimes modified, you know, this nucleotides. So customer will, if they, for example, they are in the sequencing business, right? So then, you know, say during the sequencing, they need to use a nucleotide to determine, you know, the sequence. And all for the diagnostic company, they do PCR. They also use nucleotide to, you know, detect certain mutation, for example. And the pharmaceutical company, for example, can use nucleotide, make the, you know, product for example, new protein, you know, create a new species and, you know, make new proteins. And it's just many, you know, the whole field of genomic field, you know, is based on the nucleotide.
Okay, so the material that you're creating, are they like, and this may be a stupid question, I don't know. Like, is it cells? Is it like, what, like,
it's,
what?
It's a chemical.
It's a chemical.
It's a chemical, and usually dissolved in the water. Yeah.
Okay, so is it like a liquid, a solid? Like,
yeah.
It's a liquid, okay.
Yeah, nucleotide solution usually is, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna try to find some like articles to like link in mm-hmm. In the episode notes, because mm-hmm. I want to understand this better. Like this is like a world that I don't live in. I have another question for you that
yes.
is something I didn't really think too much about mm-hmm. until I started doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between a chemical engineer and a chemist? Or yes. let's go chemical engineering and chemistry, which I think they're vastly different. And I thought that they were a lot more similar before I started doing this podcast. Like I thought chemical engineering had a lot more to do with chemistry than I think it actually does.
Right. So, I mean, there are similarity, for example, you know, it's chemistry, right? So the biochemical engineering is more about the process. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can start as a chemist, especially organic chemist, right? Organic chemist, for example, we want to make this molecule, right? And we find a way to make it. And the chemical engineer, then, you know, chemist probably make in the, you know, 1 gram, 10 gram in the glass, you know, vessel, right? But, you know, if that molecule is as a drug, you know, you need to scale up, make tons of it, right? So there you need a chemical engineer come to scale up, you know, instead of a glass container, they need this metal, you know, stainless steel, you know, reaction vessel. And the other component is that, you know, in slow glass reaction, you don't worry about the like heat exchange, for example, right? Because it's so small, you know, the heat dissipate fast. But chemical engineer, you know, if you make tons of it, right? And they can have, you know, different heating, you know, kinetic, right? And, you know, maybe can overheat your reaction, you know, fail the reaction, right? So you really need to design, you know, the fluidic system, make sure, you know, you have a cooling system, you know, it's really, you know, more like engineer aspect of, you know, so you can scale up, you know, that's why one good example, petroleum chemical, you see all those refining factory, right? They have a huge power. But when those start in the lab as a chemist, you know, we probably have a small, say, glass container tower, you know, like column, right? We can do the purification. But when you scale up, you have a huge, you know, tower, you know, to do the, you know, the purification.
Okay, this is actually like super helpful to me because I honestly have like struggled to like understand what like chemical engineering is from a standpoint of like how it relates to chemistry. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of people that I would talk to, they're like, well, it's about like a lot of it is in like manufacturing plants and things like that, that I really could not understand how that related to chemistry. Mm-hmm. And now you just like made that understandable to me. So thank you.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. You know, chemical engineer idea and understand the chemistry, you know, what can happen during the chemistry reaction, right? And your design, you know, whether it's factory or system, right? To make sure the reaction still goes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to jump back to like before college. Like what was, what inspired you to go into chemical engineering when you were deciding what to do for college? And like, what were, like, what did your parents do? And like, what were your influences that got you interested in this when you were younger?
Yeah. So, I am the first college student in my family, you know, for me, as a younger, I guess I'm always curious person by nature, I think. So I always want to understand how things work, thought, you know. So I loved chemistry. I loved math, and I'm good at that also. Mm-hmm. So and when it comes to go to, you know, which college, well, first of all, you know, it was very difficult to get admitted to college because so many same age young people, right? And they just opened the college again. And, but so few, you know, college position, you know. So it's very competitive. So we had this, we called it GoCon. They still have it today. So basically, I go take this test, six subjects and 3 days test. And,
did you say a 3 day test?
Yeah. But you know, but you go morning, you take math, afternoon, you take chemistry, for example, but you know, 3 days, six wow. subjects.
That makes the PE seem not so bad, I guess.
No. Then they, based on your total score, and then they, you know, have a cutoff. For example, you have 10,000 students take the exam, they can only take, say, 10 students.
Oh, like what? That, seriously? That few?
More than that. Actually, more than that. Yeah.
And how old are you when you're taking this test?
16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure.
But, you know, yes. You know, back then, because my parents, you know, weren't in the, they did not have college, you know, they couldn't really give me, say, you know, instruction, you know, what field I should go. And, so actually was, one of my teachers, you know, when we got the scores and then, you know, of course, majority of, you know, the students was, you know, weren't able to go to college because their score wasn't high enough. I happened to be one of the lucky one, you know, my score, you know, I passed the test. And so when the teacher asked me, what I, you know, what I want to do or where I want to do, and the true answer, I was like, I just want to go place there's a rice. because growing up back before that is always hunger, you know, and I was grown up in, you know, a city close to Shanghai, countryside close to Shanghai. So my part of town, I mean, area, we always eat rice. And I just couldn't imagine I go to some place, there's no rice. That's true, only reason. I mean, for me, that was the, you know.
It's for your familiar food, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's. And then my teacher said, oh, you know, okay, so you're good at chemistry and you're good at math, you know, why don't you go to this university, which was in Shanghai? You know, I was kind of lucky to be able to go to Shanghai. Because back then, you know, Shanghai is in China, you know, is kind of, you know, most, I should say, you know, if it's today, I said westernized, you know, because, a city in China, I still, they, not, they are more, you know, still they are, you know, most, you know, the kind of city. So, yeah, I just, kind of, you know, was able to go to college. And, I actually did really well in college. And when back then also, you know, the government will give you a job, you know, when you graduate. And, so, one of my college teacher, you know, told me, you know, said, you know, I don't know why, but you know, when I was young, you know, I couldn't really figure out, you know, but she said, you know, you really should go to the research, you know, not go to like factory, you know, because in my major people, chemical engineer, right? Usually you go to a, say, petroleum chemical company, right? You go to the, you know, she said, you know, you're really good in research and you should go to, you know, focus on the research, you know, oriented job. She actually wrote a recommendation letter for me. So I brought the letter when I joined the new company, petroleum chemical company, but they also have research institute in that company. And because of the letter, you know, they put me, they placed me in the, you know, research institute. So yeah, that is.
So I know everything is like you said, everything is like test based. Was there any challenges being female when you were like making these decisions? Were you unique because you were female in these spaces? And when you went to college, what was that experience like? Was that not an issue?
No, well, definitely, you know, females, you know, are more challenged back then. Were more challenged back then because I remember a lot of my classmates, you know, girl students. And because when they go home, they have to do a lot of chores, you know, because
they have a whole other set of work to do.
Yeah, you know, because they're responsible for many things, you know, maybe cooking even, right? Because parents are working. So they need, you know, the girls kind of, you know, they babysit a younger one, you know, they have many other chores to do. But boy, you know, and also parents think, you know, boy is the one should, you know, provide all the opportunity, you know, the best they can do. So the family usually, you know, if they can only put one kid to school, you know, usually they select a boy. And the girls, they think, you know, they will get married, you know.
Their husbands will take care of them.
Yeah. 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 Basically like that. Yeah. Yeah. And college, you know, in my class, we have 30 students, you know, 6 girls and, you know, the rest are all boys. Yeah. It just tells, you know, go to science, engineer, just, right? Less girls.
When you were in university, did people treat you any differently because you were female or like your professors, your classmates, or was it like you're just here and you just happen to be a female?
Right. So in college, you know, believe it or not, you know, in college, you know, I didn't really have hard time, you know, being a female student. I guess especially in my case, I was really good, you know, science and math, you know, I was really good in my class, you know, I didn't really feel, you know, a difficult or challenge.
And you didn't have any like professors that are, like made you feel like you shouldn't be there or made you feel less than or nothing like that.
Nothing like that. You know, I guess I was, I don't know if other, you know, classmates had that, you know, experience, but in my case, you know, I guess because I was very curious, you know, I always like to learn things, you know, I always like to ask questions. So, you know, that's why one of my teachers, you know, decided, you know, write me a recommendation letter on her own to, you know, help.
So what made you decide after you have like started being a chemical engineer, what made you decide to go to the U.S. to further your education? Like what caused that?
Right. So,
and how was that experience?
It's a difficult experience, you know, in general, right? So because, back then, you know, government gave you a job, right? So they don't want to use work time, like break time. If I am spending my break time, saying study English, and they will think, oh, that person, you know, is not committed to, you know, the job, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know, well, you know, affect your promotion, you know, or the, you know, in general. And the challenge part is really, you know, to learn the English because there was no environment for, you know, really to learn at that time, you know, just I spent a lot of evening, weekend, you know, just on my own, you know, to set it. I think the biggest one is the financial situation, you know. Everybody was poor in China back then. Like I said, you know, my monthly salary is about $30. So my husband, you know, I have enough to say here, you know, along the way, he's big support for me.
Which is huge. I mean, having a supportive spouse is absolutely right. Huge. So did you meet in college?
No, we meet at work, the first job, my first job, his first job.
Okay.
And then we, you know, we got married, we had our son. So when I come to States, you know, my son came with us. And so he was about 2.5. So, you know, graduate school was difficult because Buffalo, you know, snow, winter, and the car, my husband spent $300, bought a Ford Escort. I don't know if you remember.
I do. And right? A $300 Ford Escort is not that nice.
So half the time, right? And there's no parking in garage. There's no garage parking. So half.
Oh, so your car's buried under snow half the winter.
So, yeah. And you can't even start, right? Because carburetor, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I remember my son sitting on my shoulder, you know, just walk to school. Yeah. You know, the snow will be, you know, knee high.
How hard was it for you to leave China? I mean, I know that you had your husband and you had your son, so you've got some people with you, which I think is probably easier than going by yourself. But how hard was that to like leave your home and come to start to study in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's hard. It was hard because you're homesick, right? Because yeah. It's not possible for us to go visit my family because we couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the phone call time, you know, I think back then it's over $1 per minute.
Those long distance charges. Yeah. That we don't have anymore. Yeah, thank goodness.
It rises for international call.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I think, you know, in Thomas leaving my family, that, you know, it just, you miss them, right? But now when I'm older now today, you know, yeah, this is big part I didn't miss, you know.
Is your family still there?
Yes, I have. Yeah, all my sisters and my brother are still there. You know, my parents, you know, weren't here. They passed away. But yeah, all my siblings are still all in China.
Do you get to go back to see them? Or do they come see you?
Yes. But because I'm so busy, so I would invite them to come to visit me. Yeah, they love that. So they come see the States, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Every other year, I invite my different sisters to come here. So yeah, I got to spend some time with them. Yeah. I think now I'm more, you know, realized, you know, kind of, how should I say this? Sorry. Missed, right? So you missed part of, you know, knowing Chinese, even, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I guess my opinion, as I've gotten older, I think you realize how much more important family is. I think when you're young and life is busy and you're raising your own family,
exactly.
It's kind of I don't know, I guess maybe for at least for me, mm-hmm. I have gotten more of an appreciation for family as I have gotten older.
Absolutely.
And yes. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can tell me if this is your perspective, but we have so much technology to be able to connect with people that we didn't have mm-hmm. before. That
exactly, yeah.
I mean, even though it's not the same, right? Like seeing somebody on the screen, like we're seeing each other right now, it's not the same, but it's better.
Yes, it's definitely much better, right? So you know, now I can pick up a phone, call them; they can pick up a phone, call me anytime. You know, back then you simply cannot afford. You know,
so, yeah,
it's just.
Well, I remember, my grandparents, I'm equated to that, lived in Colorado. I lived in Minnesota. My parents would send, this is going to sound kind of ridiculous. You just made me think of this. My parents would have us record on a tape recorder that we would send to my grandparents so that they could hear, they could catch up on our lives that way, because it was so expensive just to call halfway across the country, let alone internationally.
Yeah.
And so that's how my parents kept in touch with my grandparents, which I think, I don't know if anyone else did that. I don't know if that was just a weird thing that my parents did. I don't know.
No, but that was great. Great. Right. Because, you know, you can talk more, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I will say, as a kid, I thought it was really weird. You know, I have to talk into a tape mm-hmm. recorder to send to that my parents would send to my grandparents. I'm mm-hmm. But it probably made a lot of sense, both financially and from a standpoint of being able to just hear voices of grandchildren and stuff like that.
Yeah, again and again and again, right? Now as grandma, you know, I kind of can see that, you know, I see my granddaughter's picture, you know, I never get tired to see her same picture, you know, hear her voice, you know.
Yeah.
Your parents are really smart. That's, you know, really, right? Think about it, you know.
I hadn't thought too much about that for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have a son. So, and he, what does your son do? Did he follow in your footsteps? Is he a scientist? What does he do?
If there's any regret, you know, that will be my regret, you know. I don't know, you know, because both my husband, you know, are chemists, right? And we were always busy, you know, graduate school, we were always busy, you know. And at work, we're always busy, you know. He just figured out, you know, no, I don't want in chemistry because, man, you know, I don't see my parents, you know. And he just picked his own path. You know, on the other hand, you know, because in this country, right, he has the opportunity to do that. You know, me and my husband have to stay in country because that's the only thing we're good at. You know, I cannot be, for example, right, be a teacher because my language probably won't, you know, fit. You know, or any other jobs, you know, we're just not good at it, you know, but when it comes to chemistry, you know, we're really good at it, you know. So, yeah. So I guess we didn't have much choice in that sense.
Well, you know, that's interesting because, like, so my kids, okay, so I said I'm an electrical engineer. Mm-hmm. So my kids told me that they did, well, I now have one that might go into engineering mm-hmm. and one who actually did computer science. But for like the longest time, they're like, I don't want to be an engineer because you're on your computer all the time. And I'm like, well, I'm like, that's not necessarily because I'm an engineer. I'm like, so many jobs are on a computer. It just depends on what you're looking at, for one. But I do think that there's something to that, right? Like if your kids see a certain thing, it's either like it can draw them in because they know it, or it can push them away because they also know it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I think in our case, definitely that's the second case. Yeah. So if there's any, you know, I don't know what to do though, you know, sometimes I think about this, you know, I couldn't figure out a better way to do because, you know, this country also is not set up for, you know, condition is not set up for working woman, right?
It is not.
There's no school bus, for example. Right. What'd you do?
You didn't have a school. There wasn't a school bus?
Well, yes. Yeah, so, California, San Diego, right? You know, a lot of places you don't have school bus.
And, really?
I did not
realize that.
Yeah. So, you know, you would have to, you know, drop them off in the morning. It's easier, right? But, pick them up like 2:30, 3:00.
Like the middle of the day.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, drive them to sports activity, for example, mm-hmm. right? It's just not possible for working mom. So, it's just, you know, I think that need to be, you know, changed, right? So to, you know, free a lot of women can do things because that's definitely, you know, potentially, you know, hinder women's career advance, right?
Because for sure.
There are some time I just couldn't go to, say, 3:00 meeting. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, maybe important meeting. When people schedule meeting, they don't think about, you know, you need to pick right. up your kid, right? So you just.
Well, I left my daughter once for like 2 hours that I was late to like pick her up from school because I was at a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I worked a couple hours from where I live. That's like a whole nother thing. But she was older. She was like 13 when I did this, but I would like, now I'm buying you a cell phone because I'm like, it's hard. Like, I mean, to your point, it's so hard. And I mean, it's like, it's such a systemic thing that to change, it's such a big thing to change. And it shouldn't be this way. Like shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole other like podcast series that, well, hopefully there are podcasts about it by the time. Like, it really makes it hard.
Yeah.
And also, like, when you have little kids, like, you're just trying to survive. Like, I would talk to like some women, they're like, oh, I do these experiments with my kids. And I'm like, I was just like happy to like make them dinner.
You know? Yeah. Like, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Just make sure, you know, you know, you go home, you know, you have time, make dinner, and, right, just survive, like, exactly like you said, you know, survive.
Yeah, everything. Exactly. What are you most proud of in your career and life so far?
I think, you know, career-wise, right, so I think because of my curiosity, you know, I am an inventor, you know, in many patents, you know, issue the patents. I think I always thinking more practical, you know, when as a scientist, you know, you have idea, but you also need to make sure, you know, reduce the idea to practice, right? Whether it's for product or process, right? And you want to make sure that, you know, the product and process are robust. So for example, one of the chemistry I developed in Lumina, but on my team, you know, working with my team together 20 years ago. And it's the same process chemistry still used in Illumina's product today. So, you know, which is, you know, very rewarding, you know, to think about that. And, you know, also, for example, my cam, right? I was able to just, you know, try it on my own and, you know, learn, willing to learn. And, you know, there's a lot of times I have to wear many hats. Small company, I had to be sales, marketing, BD, shipping, purchasing, right? So I am very proud I was able to manage that. And, you know, I guess I can say make a company successful. Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. What do you want to do in the future? What does the future hold for you?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are thinking, actually telling me, you know, oh, you know, you should retire, you know, because I'm at this age and, you know, financially I'm, you know, okay, more than okay. So, but you know, for me, I can't stop using my mind. You know, I need to continue to learn, you know, mm-hmm. So I think, you know, for me at Trilink, you know, because I'm now in this position, in charge of R&D in chemistry, I want to build the team and, you know, help guiding our team and inspire team. And I want to, you know, hopefully, you know, build a Trilink to be the mRNA leader in the field 5 years from now. So because I mentioned earlier, the field is going very fast and which fits me well, you know, because, you know, constant learning, right? Constantly come up a new idea, you know, so exciting, I think, you know, 5 years from now. But, you know, I don't know long term, say if you ask me 10 years, for example, you know, I can be a board member or whatever member, you mm-hmm. know, can help startup. Mm-hmm. You know, I, because my experience, because of knowledge, you know, I build up over these years, I understand the science, I understand the business, and I also understand very well about patent IP, you know. So, I understand how the process, you know, how to develop a product. So, you know, I think perhaps I can help startups.
I think that would be a great way to give back and to yes. like stay involved and
yes.
in, I'm going to say like maybe, you know, maybe like less involved, but still involved.
Right. Because so I don't have to go there every day, but, mm-hmm. you know, can be the advisor, you know, or scientific board member or board member, you know, get any way I can help. Because I can kind of helping, right? You know, I was involved with this small startups, you know. Yeah. So I know, you know, how it's like and, you know, how can I help?
What advice would you give to a girl or young woman thinking about going into STEM?
I think, you know, STEM is cool, first of all. You know, I enjoy, you know, all my life. I think, you know, if you are, you know, curious and intelligent and willing to learn and work harder, you will be very successful. I think, you know, girls or boys, you know, I encourage girls to go to the field of science. I think future, any company is technology company, right? There's no company that doesn't evolve technology anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's very important, you know, for girls, you know, are good at those, you know, science and maths.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tianfeng, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I have absolutely enjoyed our conversation and getting to know you more. And honestly, like the work that you're doing is so incredible. And I got to learn about nucleotides, which I didn't know anything about before. And I just really appreciate you being on the podcast.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, of course.
Trilink, Trilink, COVID vaccine is a big thing, right? So Trilink was big part of it. You know, our CleanCap technology patent was we provide the, you know, the material for Pfizer BioNTech.
Really?
For their, yeah, for their COVID vaccine. And, you know, 3 billion people around the world, you know, receive the vaccine, right? So as a scientist, it's incredible, you know, then rewarding, right? So usually you don't get think about the patient, you know, but pandemic and, you know, make a lot of, you know, our scientists here, you know, have that, you know, sense of rewarding to be able to help people, right? In a way more closer, you know, as a doctor, right? We are doctor, but we are not in the doctor
world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, I've had my Pfizer vaccines. I've had my Moderna vaccines. I have not had Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I've had the other ones. So I'm glad that you guys, that's part of your story. That's really amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that I didn't ask you about that we should talk about?
You know, We did pretty much everything, I think.
Well, thank you so much. I really and have just absolutely enjoyed talking with you. This has been so great.
Thank you. It's so easy to talk to you too. You made this conversation very enjoyable. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and Qianfeng's story. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd like to ask you to do a couple things which are really important to getting these women's stories to more people and increasing representation of women in STEM. First, share an episode you like with a friend. Second, go to the podcast platform you listen on, or even better, Apple or Spotify, and rate my podcast. Or if you can write a review, that's even better. Third, subscribe or follow my podcast by going to your favorite podcast platform and clicking the plus or follow button. That way, you'll never miss an episode. Lastly, you can find me, Kathy Nelson, at www.ordinarily-extraordinary.com, or you can email me at ordinarilyextraordinarypod@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, where you can find me by searching for my podcast, Ordinarily Extraordinary Conversations with Women in STEM. Please reach out to me. I hope to connect with you. Thank you, and please join me for future episodes.